Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because our Sleep Number 360 smart bed is really smart. It senses your movement and automatically adjusts to help keep you both comfortable. Plus, it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. It's even smart enough to know exactly how long, how well, and when you slept. Our smart sleepers get 28 minutes more restful sleep per night. Sleep Number takes care of the signs. All you have to do is sleep. It's the biggest sale of the year where all smart beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. Joe, you know, Dr. Vlad Zelenko was one of the first out there to show how effective hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and, the other one that we take. But anyhow.
Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin.
Yeah, well, there was one more, quercetin. How effective they were against the COVID, and of course they tried to shut him down because he was curing people. He cured thousands without a single death. And they're not making any money with those. They needed where they could depopulate the planet and make money, get rich by killing people or making them sick. And so before he died, he made this clip that I'm going to play you here. It's about a 10-minute clip. But listen to what he has to say. It's very interesting. Go ahead.
Well, we have to understand the mentality and the philosophy of the enemy to be able to answer that. We're dealing with people that don't believe in God. And if they do worship, they don't worship God. They worship something else. They also don't believe in an afterlife. No world to come. And if you ask them one simple question, what happens to human consciousness when someone dies? They say it goes away, extinguishes, oblivion, nothing. This is what they say, not me. And the one thing that these degenerates up to this point haven't been able to accomplish is escape death. But they don't want to die because there's nothing, and now here they're all powerful, right? They're billions, they control humanity. So there have been the last 30, 40 years working, spending billions, working on technology that they believe. I'm not sure if it's possible or not, but they believe that they can create a new life form, a hybrid, organic, inorganic platform with artificial intelligence. But more importantly, they can download their consciousness into that humanoid life form. And so, you know, they have a problem. This physical body, at some point, begins to break down, right? And so everyone dies. So they want to transfer their consciousness into this new artificial body life form and escape death. And then when that machine begins to break down, they'll just download it to the newer version, 2.0. It sounds like fantasy. It sounds like science fiction. Except, except that's what they're messaging. That's what they're spending their... Listen to Elon Musk. He says it outright. Listen to Ray Kurzweil, the famous futurist. Or Yuval Noah Harari. Now, this is a bad boy. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about him. He is called the prophet. By Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, and Obama calls him his favorite author. He did it on CNN. And so what does Yuval Noah Harari say? He's just one man, a little short guy, but he is messaging and influencing the thought patterns of the richest and most powerful people on the planet. So maybe we should know what he says. He says the following. This is verbatim. You can look it up. Humans are hackable animals. If you can hack an animal, you can engineer it with intelligent design, but not with some god intelligence above the clouds, but with human intelligent design. For we are now gods. There's no free will. There's no soul. And, this is my favorite, COVID-19 will be an inflection point in history when 24/7 digital surveillance went under the skin. It's interesting. You know, in 2016, Klaus Schwab gave an interview on a French media platform. I saw it with subtitles. And he said something extremely puzzling. No one could figure it out. That in 10 years, by 2026, every single human being will be tagged with a digital identifier internally. So before I ask you why, I'd rather ask how. How do you logistically get 7 billion people to willingly get injected or implanted with some type of technology that allows for them to be surveilled? Well, I have an idea. Mm-hmm. How about you manufacture a global crisis, create global fear, psychosis, then offer a false solution, which has nothing to do with COVID-19? Because if it did, why would we vaccinate six-month-old children?
That's right.
According to the CDC, children have a 99.998% chance of recovery from COVID with no treatment. It's actually safer than the flu. There's no medical reason to inject them with something that is leaving the Sherman March as child's play compared to what this vaccine is doing. It's a carnage. Why would I inject that into a child? Not for medical reasons. There are other reasons, which we'll discuss. But one of them is to transition the world to a world of maximum control, surveillance, and in other words, slavery.
We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens, because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like? This will be decided by the people who own the data. Now, why is data so important? It's important because we've reached the point when we can hack not just computers, we can hack human beings and other organisms. Now, what do you need in order to hack a human being? You need two things. You need a lot of computing power, and you need a lot of data, especially biometric data. But control of data might enable human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it. All of life, for 4 billion years, dinosaurs, amoebas, tomatoes, humans, all of life was subject to the laws of natural selection and to the laws of organic biochemistry. But this is now about to change. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds, the IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud, these are the new driving forces of evolution. And at the same time, science may enable life, after being confined for 4 billion years to the limited realm of organic compounds, science may enable life to break out into the inorganic realm. Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over. Free will, that's over.
That's over.
Over. Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste
because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to. But in a crisis, you see, we have no chance. So let's do it.
Vaccine won't help us go
the
to
vaccine
the vaccine
will help us, of course. It will make things, you know, more manageable.
Surveillance, people could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most important development of the 21st century, is this ability to hack human beings, to go under the skin, collect biometric data, analyze it, and understand people better than they understand themselves. This, I believe, is maybe the most important event of the 21st century.
By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it. In the coming decades, AI and biotechnology will give us godlike abilities to re-engineer life and even to create completely new life forms. We are about to enter a new era of inorganic life shaped by intelligent design. Our intelligent design.
Listen to Elon Musk. He says it outright. Listen to Ray Kurzweil, the famous futurist. Or Yuval Noah Harari. Now, this is a bad boy. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about him. He is called the prophet by Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, and Obama calls him his favorite author. He did it on CNN. So what does Yuval Noah Harari say? He's just one man, a little short guy. But he is messaging and influencing the thought patterns of the richest and most powerful people on the planet. So maybe we should know what he says.
All right, going back, I got a feeling, Joe, that Yuval Harari is in for an extremely rude awakening because somebody's been listening to all of that. Remember that fellow named Nietzsche, Professor Nietzsche, the great philosopher?
Well, that's and what they called him.
Remember what he said? He said that God had created man in his image, but now through science and technology,
return the favor or something that, like that.
He
right?
said, now man, God will be what man says he is. Well, and you know, because Nietzsche had this idea that he too could live forever, okay? And he blamed God for giving him such great intelligence, and with his great intelligence, having to be responsible for the future of mankind. He gave himself this title as their savior. Do you know how he ended?
I'm trying to remember something, suicide or poverty or something.
They're in Europe. They would allow you to, if you had at that time a relative that had become crazy, insane, mentally, you know, retarded, they would put him in these places where they would keep him, and his sister would, out of poverty, would actually charge people to come and watch him acting like a complete animal. It was some terrible things they did in those days with the mentally retarded. And so they would put them in there together and charge people to watch what they would do with each other. It was pretty bad. Anyhow.
Sounds totally depraved. Totally depraved.
Speaking of totally depraved, the Association of American Medical Colleges unleashes a new curriculum standards that force medical students to go to go woke, Joe, in order to practice medicine. That's right.
Medicine, right.
Here, it's an article out of Natural News by Eden Huff, and it says, in order to graduate from medical school in the United States, students now will be required to embrace the woke dogma of anti-white racism, among other far left-wing values. The Association of American Medical Colleges new diversity, equality, and inclusion, DEI competencies is supposedly just another valuable skill set in a physician's education. For graduating medical students, the competencies include describing the impact of various systems of oppression on health and health care, colonization, white supremacy, acculturation, assimilation, reports the National Association of Scholars. Well, let me ask you this, okay? Do you think people are going to continue to put up with it? They have lost. The AMLA, the American Medical College, has lost all credibility. Do you remember how people used to laugh about you've got the reputation of a used car salesman, okay? Or people right. trust you. Well, you know, it was used car salesmen and then lawyers and politicians. People have lost, just like they've lost all, you know, all credibility in the FBI or Department of Justice. They have power because they have guns and they're bullies, but they have no authority. They've lost all legitimacy. They have lost all legitimacy. When they go after a crook, it's just one crook taking down another. That's all it is, okay? They've lost all legitimacy. And the AMA now, this is why, you know, when we have people like Wendy Wilson, Dr. Peter Glidden, more and more of them are getting more and more praise. The good Lord, of these doctors are leaving to go into homeopathic medicine, getting away from these, just like people are trying to get away, more and more teachers are trying to get away from the NEA, the teachers' unions. They want to go, they want to get some credibility back. And, well, that's what's happening. This is what our job is. But I don't think God is gonna wait much longer and tolerate much more. Remember, during the flood, exactly what this Harara was talking about, exactly what he was talking about, was basically taking place on a more natural scale back during the flood. And, well, you saw how God dealt with that, right?
He kind of cleaned house.
He certainly did. Even, listen to this.
You could say it that way. It was a big house cleaning.
Absolutely. Here, history repeats itself. Deathocrats are using tactics of the Marxists of 1917 in Russia. Their final assault on America begins today. You know, it was an interesting thing because I'm looking at these rebels, these revolutionaries out there, and they're standing there, and it's the women, their women are topless. And I was thinking about, well, you know, that's exactly what happened some years ago when we would go out to the abortion mills, when we would we'd rescue one and try to shut the abortion mill down, those whores would come out topless. They would come out, and the pro-deathers would come out, and they would have people with cameras, and they would come topless, and then they would push up against you, and when you pushed them away, they would grab your hand and hold it and then yell that you were molesting them. This is, you know, this
right,
was their tactic.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, they really never got away with it. I mean, I can't think of one time when they really got away with it.
They try and try and try. It's like what they're doing with Trump right now. Jonathan Turley, Alan Dershowitz are both law professors. Turley's kind of liberal. Alan is very, very liberal. And they both are saying... The raid was supposed to be a last resort, but, you know, when negotiations fail, but they've weaponized the judicial system, they're both saying this. They're both saying that the law is very clear and they shouldn't be doing this, and it will not hold up. But while this is happening, I want to point out to people, do you remember, Pastor Ernie, way back when Donald Trump was leaving office, before he left, he released a bunch of records related to the probe you know, the Russian collusion operation. What was it? Can't remember the name. He opened up all the records, and for the he declassified. Now, Judicial Watch is suing to get those records because the government is keeping them, will not release these records. Trump declassified, said they would be made available. So here we have the raiding Trump. Excuse me. They're raiding Mar-a-Lago. They're going after Trump about records. In the meantime, there's boxes of records he declassified on the Russian disinformation, Russian collusion operation, whatever. I can't think of the name of it. They called it. He opened all those records, and the government, the DOJ, will not release these documents. So this, it's one of those, the hypocrisy couldn't be any more evident. All this stuff that was supposed to be turned over to the press, to the people, the Biden administration is keeping, will not release, even under Freedom of Information Acts, even under a lawsuit so far. They're being sued. And yet they're going after Donald Trump for some records that he apparently kept that they think he shouldn't have. So, I mean, this is one of the big stories that's not being promoted out there. I didn't see it on the major news. I don't know. What do you think on that? To me, it just explains everything.
Well, that's exactly what I would expect them to do. But here's the main thing, Joe. The reason they are so afraid of Trump, is because the Democrats are their flush, and I'm talking about the heads of these agencies, like this judge, this so-called judge. They were all involved in pedophilia. They were flushed. The entire Democratic Communist Party, from the top, is flush with pedophilia.
Well, and, they're corrupt one way or the other.
Right.
Some of them have other corruptions, but yeah, and, it's corruption.
And so they know that a lot of this is going to be coming out. A whole lot of this is coming out. And, I mean, little by little, look, you know, we're exposing it, you know, just like with the clips that we've been playing here just recently, more and more, they're trying to hide it. Now, Trump was using, and you didn't, this never hit the news because, well, he couldn't really do it. He was using certain special forces in the military to actually go into some of these dumps down there and rescue these children. You only heard a little bit about, a very little bit about it. They had to keep it, you know, under the belt because the entire, you know, the whole, if you look at the so-called Justice Department, these people, if you look, you know, why I always say Adam Schiff, keep your hands off a little boys, Adam Schiff, okay? All of these things, well, look at their leader, Joe Biden, and his son, Hunter, okay? I mean, they're just a few examples, and, well...
Great examples, yep.
I just had an article.
What not to be, what not to do, how not to act, right?
Yep, and so, anyhow, in fact, I just had another article which would have been typical, and that was, again, a Democratic Party high-up lawyer, you know, was just... Actually, they went after him. Every now and then, they'll throw one of their own under the bus. And I think that's what they did with Epstein. They threw Epstein under the bus. And believe me, if he is really dead, he didn't commit suicide, okay?
No.
And that he was arconcited.
They covered up for all kinds of people who were there, including Bill Clinton, trips there.
Hillary was known to go out, especially to his ranch in New Mexico. She was known for being visiting there a lot. Bill was known more so for visiting Epstein's Island, Orgy Island, out there.
Uh-huh.
There's
no investigation, no news, national news on it, no inquiries, no questions. It just if people haven't figured out this one-sided justice system, you know, everything that the left does is wonderful. Everything that the right does is terrible. They are, you know, they're the brightest bulbs in the basket. And any conservative is wacko crazy. I mean, they've been lying for so long that the lies are not even... They were almost funny for a while, and it's beyond that. Now they're just so bad that you can't even stand to hear it.
Well, let me just read this. 2020 perfect storm facing our republic. All three branches of government are in peril. He goes on to say, an election in 1917 forecast the election here in 2020. Here are the elements from 103 years ago. Years of preparatory work were spent in misleading and misdirecting propaganda. Yep. Contesting voting resulted in results marred the election's finality and ultimately its dismissal. Claims that poor were going to be disenfranchised by their votes. The scheduled voting was extended by 2 months. Division and violence, slander, and libel were widespread. A delusion, cunning, conniving campaign made unrealistic promises to win the population. Anger and mob violence were deliberately stirred up against privilege, possessions, and status. Deceptive claims persuaded a majority that they were robbed of their electoral victory. Inevitable civil war was sparked at the election's end because Lenin's group failed to win the majority. The dissolution of the old state and a transformation of new system was promised to lead the true socialism, but it brought history's worst and longest ruling tyrant. That's exactly the type of thing that's happening today in America. Now, what are the differences between them and us? Well, one of the things, Joe, between the differences between them and us, you have 100 million armed conservatives in this country. 100 million. They didn't have that, okay? And here's another thing, Joe. We were used to freedom, you see. There's an old saying, you don't know what you have until you lose it, right? We've used to freedom. We grew up in freedom, and we're seeing those freedoms being eroded, and we don't like it, and you're going to see a lot of pushback. Now, what they're going to start trying to do, Joe, they're going to try to bring us back under the mask, and this is a part of their plan. And it's already happening out in places like Oregon and some of these other places. They're already doing that, okay?
Yeah, the schools, the teachers' unions are pushing for all kinds of stuff now, vaccination for the kids and social justice and everything else before kids can go back to school. So you see, everything's a power play.
Right here in Ohio State University, they want to go back to the masking. And people are saying, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Now, I know in our county, our sheriff has said very clearly that whole thing, the mask, that's a mandate, it's not a law, and it will not be enforced in this county, period. And so, and this is why I'm telling people out there to start meeting and get prepared, because the communists are going to come back with everything they have. And they are scared to death of Donald Trump. And they realize this, that, say, the Republicans pretty much with a handful. You got people like Jim Jordan, Ted Cruz, Paul, what's his name?
Rand Paul.
Rand Paul, Matt Gaetz, that green woman.
Louie Gohmert.
Yeah. So you got a handful of Republicans that have got some metal, got some honor, got some integrity, but the vast majority of them are pretty much worthless. I mean, they huff and they puff, and when it comes time to really doing that, they stand down, and the people are getting really tired of that. If I could tell you this, if in fact there is an election. Say there is actually an election in November, and it's halfway honest. The Democratic Party will be pretty much gone, but the Republicans will not. They will not. You know, they'll promise that they're going to go after these people, but they'll get bought off. They'll get paid off unless unless there's a Donald Trump there. Remember, Donald Trump taught them they could actually win.
Right.
Unless they could actually win
and get things done for the people. That was the key. It's about the people, what kind of country we want to have, a fair, decent country where the people are free, where your neighborhoods are safe, where you can have a good living, and, you know, all of the good things that Trump showed that could happen. One person made a lot of things happen, but a lot of other people believed in what he was saying could be achieved. And that's what they're afraid of, that the people start believing that we can really restore America. We can have that great nation back. And that's what they're afraid of. You see, this is a revolution, and if we stop the revolution and put an end to it, that's their last big hurrah. It's going to be a lot harder to get back in the position of power because we'll know now who the enemy really is, and it'll be a lot easier to see.
All righty, we're up against the heartbreak, people. Right back after this.
World War sees this opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order, where brutality will go unrewarded.
Just in case you don't remember, let me jog your memory. In a church they called the Waco Compound, back in April 93, 17 little children, all so helpless and so small, died a senseless death of gas and flames. How many names can you recall? 17 little children, don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children, how could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? How did you sleep last night, Bill Clinton? Tell me, did you feel their pain? As 17 little children cried out and perished in the flames, Attorney General Janet Reno, I accept your offer to resign. How can you stand for law and order now, when you won't answer to your crimes? 17 little children, all so helpless and so small. 17 little children, can you recall? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, if we become so blind, will 17 little children finally open up your mind? I've heard it said the Branch Davidians only got what they deserved, yet no one seems to know what laws were broken, what was in the warrant they never served. yesterday I sold my TV set, stopped my subscription to the Times. To me it's plain to see the media was an accomplice to these crimes. 17 little children, don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children, how could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? Open up your mind.
All righty, we are back, and I got to say this. Listen to this. According to Dr. Theo Shedders, out of every 800 people over the age of 60 who gets jabbed for the Fauci flu will die because of it. This is an astoundingly high death rate, and one that the Western media refuses to acknowledge. Well, he's a Dutch vaccinologist, okay? And I got news for you, Dr. Theo. It's going to be much higher than that. It already is much higher than that. You understand your study, but there's others that have shown that the death rate is much higher, and it's going to be, as Dr. Tenpenny and others say, that it's going to hit the hardest in about 5 to 6 years after the kill shots. All right, we're going to open up in the phones and take some calls at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We got Jack in San Diego.
Yes, here in San Diego, the Board of Supervisors have declared a state of emergency in regards to monkeypox. so has the governor of California, and so has the president of the United States has declared a national health emergency due to monkeypox. So, I think they're getting ready for the emergency orders. Now, there are some things that are troubling that you don't hear about. There's one case of polio in New York, and they're saying because of that one case, there may be hundreds of cases in New York of polio. This is the problem when you have people coming across the border that you don't know what diseases they have. They don't get vaccinated. They don't get any type of chest x-ray or health examination as you would if you're coming here legally. And they're spread all over the United States. There's a disease that has been around for over 20 years that I don't think people realize because they changed the name of it, and that's leprosy. We have leprosy back in the United States, and the reason why you may not be aware of it is because it's now called Hansen's disease. And I understand there is a website, I don't know how to get to it, but it shows you the hot spots in the United States where there's Hansen disease outbreaks. I first learned about it. My wife was a public health nurse for the county, and I went to one of their parties. It was like a Christmas party or something, and I was talking to one of the nurses, and I asked her, well, what do you do? And she says, well, I'm the head of the Hansen's clinic. She says, well, what's that? And she says, oh, that's leprosy. And we have a clinic in San Diego for all the people that have leprosy. And you don't hear anything about things like that. And in any event, they're going to have probably several different avenues to go back to emergency orders Right now it's the monkeypox. What's going to happen if polio gets out of control? Evidently, it must be highly contagious.
Oh, come on, Jack. You got to die of something, right? Look here. Look, you got to understand. Here's what God says. And he really does know what he's talking about. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, now this, not all the Bible was written to us, but it was all written for us, and he says this, "And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God would set thee on high above all nations of the earth." That's exactly what he did with America, because we had founding fathers who believed the word of God. And they weren't perfect by any means, but this nation was one nation under God, and that's where we went. And we became the greatest nation above the earth. But then he says this. He said, "But if it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come up on thee and overtake thee." And he says, "The Lord shall send thee cursing, vexation, and a rebuke, and all that settest thine hand to do." He said, "The Lord shall make pestilence cleave unto thee until has consumed thee from the land, and whatever it goes, and that smite thee with consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, with an extreme burning." In other words, he's describing the COVID-19 and these other things perfectly. And this is what we have, and we're wondering what's going on. Well, I'm not wondering. I know. Hey, listen, thanks for calling.
All right, buddy. And take care.
You too. God bless. Let's go to our other. Let's go to the other Joe tonight. Okay.
Oh. Yeah. What's up? Couple of things. One would be what Jack was just saying about polio, there's a book he should get called Dissolving Illusions. Get the audio book. The guy that reads it is really good. But what they suppressed with polio is they found out that you could take intravenous vitamin C and get rid of it in 3 days, or you could take very high doses orally of vitamin C. And they pointed out one doctor that the worst form of it, which is like the anterior bulbar of the spinal cord that caused full-scale paralysis, it even got rid of that. So they suppressed that with polio. So that's Jack should look at that book. Another book that I'm reading right now that's tremendous is called The Psychology of Totalitarianism. It's a German author, so it's translated. It just came out on Audible, but definitely read this book. It's just incredible how it's about the mass formation and the rise of masses. You still there?
Oh, yeah, we're here.
Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, so really what it explains is how they talk about, like, for example, they gave an example of a woman from Russia under Stalin, and they took her uncle and her father to the gulags, and they asked her about it now that she's older and still around. They said, well, there was pros and cons to it, so how people get just into this mass formation, and a lot of it's that they're taking advantage of people out of free-floating anxiety, and that's really what it talks about in the book of Revelation, fear, and they're preying on fearful people and getting them to form into like this collective it's like a hypnosis of the masses to follow this stuff. And the guy really relates it to what's happening now, but the writing is tremendous. And one other thing is this guy Harari is telling you exactly what all these people are thinking. This has nothing to do with health, 0.0. It has everything to do with what that guy in that clip just said. If you look at, go to Sergeant Reports, the propaganda episode 334, an interview with Hope and Tavon from Morocco, and they explain that, you know, what they're putting in most of a percentage of these vaccines is liquid crystals that get into the brain. And they're trying to manipulate the brain with the 5G waves. And she has a very harrowing story in there about how she went to get a haircut with her mother, and like the girl in the back kept coming up front, and they never brought her back for the haircut. And then she went back, and the girl was just staring at the wall, you know. And then they went outside; people were like zombies walking into the street. Like, and she thinks they were vaccinated and they may have raised the 5G waves. But my last point I wanted to bring up is, you know, if you look at the AMA, all right, if you belong to the AMA or the FBI, it's Psalm 84. It's talking about you're better off a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than being in the tents of the wicked. So what would you say to that for someone that works in the FBI or is with the AMA? What would you say to them? Would you stay with people that are this depraved, or would you have to just separate?
Well, I would wonder, you know, that would really depend upon what position. I mean, if there's somebody that's in an extremely high position where they can make a difference and make some change there, you know, that would be them up for them to, I would say, do what you can while you can. On the other side of that, people that are not in a position where they can change anything, they need to come out of there. They need to come out of there and
be
again,
a whistleblower if they can.
Yeah. There's a, again, we're seeing society, what it's being reduced to. We're seeing what used to be agencies that had some honor and some integrity and decency, but they're all going bad. They're all going bad. Even the big corporations today, they're, you know, this is Mystery Babylon. This is the New World Order taking over. And these people are totally clueless. They are, somehow, they've got a mindset like this Harara that if you ignore God, if you just ignore God, and he'll go away. Well, that's mm-hmm. not going to happen, okay? And these people, God has called them fools. He's called them fools. And he says, why do the heathen rage? And then he says, why do they imagine a vain thing? And that's exactly what he's referring to. Here, why do the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing. That's exactly what is happening, exactly saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. In other words, let's cut them off. We're going to rule this earth, and we will do away. And believe me, this whole thing about these 87,000 IRS agents is to totally eliminate the middle class. That's what they're there for, to be weaponized against us. And so, and our military up to this point has stood down. And
they don't realize that they'll be destroying the future of their own sons and daughters. They destroy the middle class. As they succeed, they will really ruin the future for their own seed.
Absolutely.
And this is where they have been blinded, right?
I got to move on, Cliff, but listen, thanks for calling. We've got one last. This is the last call. Who do we have? GB Lightning. You're the last call for tonight, GB.
Hey. Suggestion for President Trump that he visits all the constitutional carry states immediately, and that his sons put out the word that the Trumps love guns, and that guns are always welcome at his event.
Well, you're seeing, I'm telling you, people are buying guns, they're arming themselves, they're buying ammunition. They look at this, and again, they're looking now at the federal government as becoming the enemy. And even some prissy preachers, some in the past that would not have ever had the courage to stand up, even they're now concerned, and they're looking around and saying, you know, we got to do something, meaning the pastors with more courage, you know, with courage. But anyhow, even they're concerned. In fact, it's gotten so bad that Andrew Cuomo calls out Garland's DOJ after KGB-style raid on Mar-a-Lago. Former Democratic New York Governor Andrew Cuomo called the Department of Justice to quickly try to find a way to justify the raid on former President Donald Trump. Okay. And so, anyhow, we're out of time for tonight. So Joe?
God bless all of you.
God bless you, GB. Joe, you got 3 minutes to tell us how to heaven.
Well, two things that are important. I want to read two pieces of scripture. Romans chapter 8, 9 and 10. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Then we have Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We have this God that is so awesome and wonderful that he went and he realized that because we were sinful, because we live in the flesh, he became a living sacrifice for us, took our place upon the cross, died and paid the price for your sins, for my sins, so we could be born again, made new. We could, like Scripture said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you become born again, you have the indwelling of God himself through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I am in you. We become the sons and daughters of God. We become a temple, the dwelling place of God himself. And to have this, we have this personal relationship then with our Heavenly Father. What we have to do to get there is accept that Christ died for our sins. We have to repent to the Father that our sins placed him on that cross. We have to be truly sorry that he had to die for us, pay that price. And then we ask him, after we ask to be forgiven, we ask Jesus to come into our life, to be the Lord of our life. We give ourselves to him without reservation, without doubt. And then we ask him that we want to become a born-again believer, a son of God. And he will give us that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual baptism. Then we become that new creature, that new creation, that born-again believer. And we become changed for all eternity, not just for now, but for eternity. We become a child of God. And it is the most wonderful thing that can ever happen. The happiest people I know, the people that are at peace, the most joyful, are all born-again believers. They are assured of who they are, who their Father is, what their future is.
Don't get any better than having that assurance that passes, that peace that passes all understanding. Well, we're out of time for again tonight, so until tomorrow, good night.
Night.
God bless.
Bless.
Always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.